once again, welcome to Northeastern Wisconsin's all business talk show on the radio. And I'm your host, Jim Rossetti. We are talking biz this morning right here on the radio. And we're so glad you could join us. And on this show, if you've been a listener, you know that we talk about survival tips, empowerment strategies. We talk all sorts of startup advice, marketing tips. We talk about accounting, tax tips, sales techniques, cash flow management, everything that affects a small business owner. We discuss it here on this radio show, and legal issues. And this morning, we're going to be talking about that. Also, our guests include business authors, business experts, attorneys, CPAs, CEOs, CFOs, bankers, consultants, and the whole gamut, and hardworking entrepreneurs like yourselves. We like to feature and talk about how they got started and how they grew their business and all the hurdles they had to jump. And that's all good information for you folks. So if you're thinking about starting a business, haven't done it yet, but you're sitting on the couch saying, wait a minute, my pink slip could be in the mail any day, and I think I got to start making other provisions, maybe starting a business is what you might want to turn to. And so you want to learn all you can about it. And that's what we talk about on this radio show. And we do take your calls. So if you want to give us a call right here, I'm going to throw out the numbers quickly, and then I'll give them again a little later in the program. Our number is 281-1150 in Appleton. And outside of Appleton, we're at 877-887-1150. And for those of you just joining us, I would like to remind you that we do the show under the umbrella of the SCORE chapter here in the Fox Cities. SCORE is a national organization. There are some 14,000 SCORE counselors all over the United States. And what we do is we literally counsel people in business, whether you're starting the business, growing the business, expanding the business, regardless of what phase. It's a good bang for your buck. It's a good place to start. And we have some 35 active counselors in our SCORE chapter here in the Fox Cities. Our offices are in the Chamber of Commerce building. So you can give us a call any day of the week at 734-7101 here in Appleton locally if you want to book a counseling session. Or just go to the website, which is scorefoxcities.com. Fill out a short little questionnaire, because we're going to send you there anyway, even if you call us. Fill that out and then just hit submit. We will get it. We will call you and schedule an appointment for our first meeting. And I got to tell you, some of the business people that I have met with have been, I've stayed with some businesses for as much as 3 and 4 years, watching them grow and watching them expand. And each step of the way, when they make a decision, sometimes they'll call me up and we'll sit down again and talk about it. So it's great to have a team on your, like your own board of directors, right, Robbie? Robbie's working the board this morning, so I know things are going to run smooth. Besides, didn't you tell me it was a good morning so far?
So far, it has been a good morning, yes.
I'm not going to spoil that, Robbie. I hope you know that. Anyway, I do have a quick 30-second announcement I'd like to make on behalf of one of our sponsors, which is Epiphany Law. And our guest this morning is Epiphany Law. Valerie Revenue is our one of the attorneys. We'll be on in just a few minutes. But before we start, I want to talk a little bit about Entrepreneurs Anonymous. This is a monthly discussion group, and it meets among entrepreneurs and business owners on hot tips, hot business topics. And this month's topic is how and why to network. Now, you can join the group right at on Tuesday, May the 25th. That's this Tuesday, May 25th. At 5 p.m. at the Wave Bar and Ballroom. That'll be the next meeting. Sarah Schneider from Schenck Business Solutions will share tips on how to network. And believe me, if you're in business, you want to learn all you can about networking. It's a very inexpensive way to market your business. So if you're an owner, a business owner, and it's a $10 involvement, very, very reasonable, good bang for the buck, and you must register by the 24th of May. So here's the number to call for registration. Call locally, 920-996-0000. You can't forget that number. Once again, just call them at 920-996-0000 and tell them you heard it on BizTalk. Okay, Robbie, why don't we go to a break? And you're on the Business Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Jim Rossetti, talking biz this morning right here at News Talk 1150 WHBY.
I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me.
Are you an entrepreneur starting up a business? Maybe you've been in business for several years and your company is growing. Either way, you need a trusted legal advisor. Epiphany Law can help. Epiphany Law is a business law boutique that provides expertise to startup and growing businesses. Period. They don't do divorces. They don't chase accident claims. And they don't dabble in criminal law. They pride themselves on providing solutions to businesses of varying shapes and sizes. And they have the expertise to be your all-around business legal advisor. In short, they do business law. And they do it very well. It's been said that an epiphany is a flash of light that points to a better way. At Epiphany Law, they provide that better way. If you're a business owner who's ready for a fresh, business-focused approach to legal advice, call the business law experts of Epiphany Law today at 920-996-0000 or look them up online at epiphanylaw.com.
LLC or S Corp.
How do I get my business running?
Not sure how to get your business venture off the ground? Let Albertson Healing help you properly set up your business right from the start. We're big enough to handle all of your business startup needs, yet small enough to give you the attention you deserve. Call Albertson Healing CPAs today at 888-929-9492 for your tax, investment, and consulting needs. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. and Albertson Healing CPAs are non-affiliated entities.
As the number one SBA lender in Wisconsin, Associated Bank has been helping small businesses grow for over 120 years. By getting to know you, your business, and the goals you hope to achieve, Associated is able to offer a wide range of financial solutions to help you run your business more efficiently and save you time and money. If you're interested in learning more about the financial solutions Associated offers to business owners, visit an Associated branch or AssociatedBank.com. Loan subject to credit approval, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC, and Associated Bank Corp.
If you do what you've always done, where will you be when the economy recovers? Act now to refine your management skills and learn how to lead your business through economic peaks and valleys with Proceed from the Venture Center at Fox Valley Technical College. We're the leading business innovation center in the new North, featuring customized instruction with self-paced online training modules, personalized coaching from proven business experts, and meet the CEO roundtables and speakers. Listen to what our successful graduates say.
Proceed is the best secret weapon a company can have in today's competitive world and has helped take my business to the next level and into the future.
Or if you've dreamed of running your own business, learn how with our eSeed Entrepreneur Training. Hundreds of eSeed graduates are in business today, and here's what they say.
eSeed allowed me to craft a game plan needed for a best practice approach to a successful business.
Find out more about Venture Center Business Training. Visit us online at venturecenterwi.biz or call 920-735-5709.
Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name. You know I'm gonna treat you right.
Okay, we are back talking business right here in Biz Talk. I'm your host, Jim Rossetti. Tony Bush is out on assignment this week, and we'll be back next week. And wanted to make light of our sponsors because they're the ones that really do keep us on the air. We're so appreciative of that. And our anchor sponsor that's been with us for a long time is the Associated Bank, who is really still a leader in the state of Wisconsin and maybe outside the state of Wisconsin as a SBA, Small Business Administration, lender. And they are a good one-stop for anybody. Every program under the SBA auspices is there at Associated Bank. So if you call them, make sure you tell them you heard it on BizTalk. Also, our sponsor, Epiphany Law, we have one of their attorneys on this morning. Kevin Eisman and his staff do only business law. They don't practice personal injury. They don't go after divorces. They do only business law. And as I announced a little bit earlier, they've got the entrepreneurs meeting, which will be this Tuesday, the 25th at 5 p.m. over at the Wave Bar and Ballroom. And of course, when you have a good law firm, you need a good accounting firm, right? You got to keep the numbers straight. You got to know where you're going. And our friends over at Albertson Hailing have been doing that for years. They are an excellent source for small business accounting. If you need some help, call my friend Kurt Hailing. I need to get in and see him Monday morning anyway. and call him while I'm there. That always helps. But he's been so gracious to help me through IRS audits and all kinds of problems, and we got through it unscathed. So I'm very beholden to their group over there. And also, I don't want to forget the Venture Center, because that is the premier source for entrepreneurship here in the Valley. So if you're starting a business and growing a business, we had the Fab Lab on a couple of weeks ago, which is for the inventors, and a great show, very interesting. So there's everything for the small business entrepreneur starting up, expanding, growing, whatever. The eSeed programs are going on consistently throughout the year. And the Venture Center is also one of our... So you'll hear all these sponsors when we do a break, and I just knocked my coffee cup over. No coffee in it, though. And don't want to forget the business news. The business news newspaper has been with us since we started the show, and they cover about 18 counties in Wisconsin. It's a business, all business newspaper. If you're a business person that really wants to stay on the cutting edge of what's going on in the business community throughout the northeastern sector of Wisconsin, you definitely want to subscribe to the business news. It's about an $18 investment. And what a bang for the buck that is. So there you have it. That's our lineup of sponsors. If you call us this morning on BizTalk, I'm going to give you a free book. It's called Speaking of Success. But you got to come on the air with us. Robbie will take your call, and he may ask for your address so we can send you out a copy of this book. The authors of the book are Ken Blanchard, who's well-known for writing the One-Minute Manager series. Jack Canfield, you heard of Chicken Soup for the Soul. That's been a bestseller. I think it's still up there. Dr. Stephen Covey is a world-famous author that wrote Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And Miss Patricia Clayson. And Patricia is a world-renowned trainer and teacher and entrepreneur, and teaches great business techniques. So that book is yours absolutely free. It's called Speaking of Success. I want to give some away. So give us a call this morning if you're in Appleton. All you got to do is dial us at 281-1150, 281-1150. And if you're outside of Appleton, maybe you're in Green Bay, maybe you're in Fond du Lac, maybe you're in Chilton, maybe you're wherever, Wautoma, 866-887-1150. And we will get you right on the air. So anyway, I want to introduce my guest. She's in the studio this morning, and she's brightening up the studio. I want to welcome Mrs. Valerie Revenue. Have I got it right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, pronounced it right. And Valerie, you're a staff attorney over at Epiphany Law.
Yes.
Right, with Kevin in the group. Mm-hmm. And your area of law fits into litigation, right?
Right. I do the business litigation for the firm. I've been with them now going on 3.5 years.
Okay.
Right. And basically what I cover is a lot of contract disputes, mm-hmm. Enforcing rights, defending against enforcement.
Sure, sure.
Collections is a big area that I do. Real estate litigation and shareholder disputes. I mean, it's amazing that no matter what area of law that you're looking at, mm-hmm. Where it kind of all comes back to is starting up. It's getting the the team of advisors. It's starting from the beginning, because it's adequately preparing that will help you not only in collections but in anything else that you have to do in front of the court. And it's amazing how I know a lot of times with the small business owners that mm-hmm. money is an initial layout of costs, and well, I'll do that later.
Right.
I'll take care of getting the operating agreement later. Well, when that later comes, sometimes that later never comes, and the relationships or whatever it is broken down to the point that you can't get what it is that you need. So that's where having your team of advisors, your attorney, your accountant, your banker, which I'm sure is as important nowadays.
Exactly.
Your whole team and score advisors, and that is important. And I just wanted to put out another plug-in for the Entrepreneurs Anonymous, because not only is that mm-hmm. A great place to talk to other entrepreneurs and go, hey, who are you using as advisors, and kind of get the referral part of it, but that what the whole point of the program is on the monthly meetings is to address needs of the entrepreneurs, that if they have questions, if they have where they want to see or where they want to have help. So, I mean, it's As far as additional programs or future programs, if there's something that somebody wants to see that goes, I'm thinking of starting a business and you know, want more information on this like networking that was maybe a referral, or not a referral, but a suggestion from somebody, that's what the group is there to help. It's,
well,
to be the support.
And the group, basically, when you're sitting in that atmosphere, it's kind of open discussion, right? It's more or less people can talk a little bit, and you're going to hear problems other people are facing, and sometimes it's educational. You learn things from that. Hey, they're dealing with this. Here's how they dealt with it. Now, I'm looks like I'm going to be experiencing or facing the same type of thing in my business. Now you may have a solution.
Exactly. I think that's half of where the knowledge comes in. I mean, they try to present some speakers, and then they make it an open forum where people share their real world experiences and solutions and how they address it, so that you better as a business owner or as somebody thinking about going into business can either watch out for that or, you know, kind of copy what somebody else has been doing.
Well, once again, for anybody listening that maybe didn't catch it, we first started that this Tuesday at 5 o'clock over at the Wave Bar and Ballroom the group is going to be meeting.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. I think it's at 5 or 5:30 for the Entrepreneurs Anonymous. And then the number, again, if you were interested in calling to reserve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the reason that we do want you to register, or that the group wants to register, is so that there's an accurate head count and enough space. Because it really is a pretty large turnout, which is great, because that's the more people that come, the more you learn.
Sure.
But that's 996-0000. So I just wanted to put a plug in there, because that's something that is a great, great avenue that people can use.
Well, you were talking about, you know, contracts. That we can cover that for hours. I don't know if we could, but contractually, and this is where I find a lot of people fall down a little bit, is they really try to, you know, create something themselves, you know, that they think is going to be strong enough to bind or be binding, only to find out once they really have to enforce it that it doesn't nail down or misses a lot of the things.
Right.
And then now you got to get called in, right, Val?
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough for you to really defend these people or do something when the contract's been written, signed, and not properly, you know, the right I's and T's were not dotted and crossed.
That's true. And yeah. I guess the hardest part for me, or the hardest part of my job, is giving that bad news of going, they think they have the contract, and going, well, unfortunately, you didn't put anything in there about collection costs, attorney's fees, and things of that nature. And now that's not applicable in every situation, because there's some contracts that you can't, depending on, you know, like what particular type of business you're in. But overall, being the bearer of bad news, are going, okay, well, you know, you have a case, however, it's going to cost you more to recover on your case than your case is worth, because certain things were missed. I mean, that's the worst part of the job, where when you're talking about that team advisors, that's one of the things you go and you go, hey, this is my business, this is these are the areas that I do, I focus. Where should I be looking for? What should I be having in my contracts?
Right.
And another thing that I've recently been coming up with against on a regular basis is that there's some in writing and there's some that's not. And sometimes that's even harder than if there isn't anything in writing, because if somebody...
it's a handshake, maybe. Yeah, we said it. Well, it was a verbal exchange, and third party over here heard it.
Or it goes, this is what's signed on the contract, but we agreed to modify it. We agreed that it was going to be this, and that was a handshake. Well, it just is, sometimes that's easier to go, okay, well, it's all oral, or it's all written, so it's... If you're going to write something, make sure that all the important details are there. You know, attorney's fees, interest, that's the big thing when it comes to collections. Because
I'm sorry to interrupt, but you talked about in the startup phase where somebody gets a team of advisors on board. And one of the big things is when people are starting partnerships and they don't have anything in writing as to who gets what if the partnership breaks up. Because you know how it's always, oh, we love each other. We'll never, ever have a dispute. Come on, we're starting out. It's all harmonious. We're holding hands together, waltzing down.
Right.
And 6 months later, they're at each other's throats, kind of like a marriage.
Mm-hmm. Or not even that, but what you find also in that is that, so say the relationship, and that's one of the big ones is that something happens and the relationship deteriorates, but
right.
say that you're in, you know, an LLC or you're in a corporation or you're in, well, probably more often we see LLCs, is that that the people that you're partnered with or that you're members with, well, you're members with them, but what happens if they pass away and it goes to their spouse? You weren't, you don't want to be a member with their, you don't want to be having the spouse having control or say in the business or access to funds and that kind of stuff that that the original partner or the original member had.
Coming in and telling you, oh, that machine's not going over there. It's going over here. What?
Well, right. I mean, that's it, when you take a look at it, I mean, the relationship was great up until the day that the member, you know, passed away. But, and some of those things you just never know. I mean, it's not an age thing. You know, automobile accidents happen and, you know, there's things like that. So it's great. It's better to have it up front because it's going to be a lot less costly. To have, this is our procedure for it, and these are the things you want to have covered. And the other thing that helps with that is that if you have operating agreements and those types of documents in place, what you're also trying to do is protect you. That's also providing another source of protection against creditors coming in and saying that you're disregarding your corporate entity, and so we're going to try to pierce the corporate veil and get a personal liability against you. Because one of the big things that you, the protections that you get with an LLC or a corporation or limited partnerships is that they're viewed in the eyes of the law as a separate legal person. Well, you got to treat them like that too. You can't treat them as, well, it's a separate legal entity when I want it to be and and not when I don't want it
whenever
to be.
Whenever it's convenient.
Right, exactly. And that's what creditors can come in and go like, did you do a lot of the formal stuff? Did you keep a separate checking account? Did you, I mean, the rest of these kind of check marks that protect you from that personal liability.
Just
as
some
well.
Quick little story. I, as a score counselor, I had a young young guy come in, and he called up desperately to see a score counselor. So I finally sat down and met with this guy, and I really kind of felt bad because he threw into a business with some other partners. Nothing, absolutely nothing in writing. And ultimately what they did is they, once he was working with him for a while, they kind of glommed onto his accounts, decided they didn't need him anymore, and never paid him what they agreed to be his share of the business, and just kind of ousted him. So he was on the outside looking in, saying, wait a minute, they just took my business. And he came to me, wanted to know what, and I said, you know, you can get an attorney, and but I'm going to tell you the real truth that I feel, I think you're going to have a tough time really proving any of it, because they're going to deny every bit of it, and it's your word against theirs, and guess what, can you afford to pay the legal costs it might take to really, and you know, it was a sad case, but it applies to exactly what we're talking about right now.
Exactly.
Safe than sorry. Hey, listen, why don't we take a quick break? Our guest this morning is Valerie Revenue. She'll be back from Epiphany Law. And we are talking biz. We're on the Business Talk Radio Network right here at News Talk 1150 WHBY.
Someday, when I'm awfully low, when cold.
401k or simple IRA?
I need a plan for me and my employees.
Not sure what retirement plan is best? Let Albertson Healing set up your unique program and help keep it running smoothly. We're big enough to handle all of your business investment needs, yet small enough to give you the attention you deserve. Call Albertson Healing CPAs today at 888-929-9492 for your tax, investment, and consulting needs. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. and Albertson Healing CPAs are non-affiliated entities.
The innovation on-ramp starts at the Venture Center. Don't get passed up in the race for innovation. Visit the Venture Center at Fox Valley Technical College. The Venture Center is the leading business innovation center in the New North, with customized programs for entrepreneurs, existing businesses, and corporations. You can learn the basics of starting and managing your own business, or learn how to refine your business skills in the successful Proceed program.
At the Fab Lab at Fox Valley Technical College, you can take your idea to reality. We feature the only digital product fabrication laboratory in the United States designed specifically for entrepreneurs, businesses, and inventors. Our experts will help you design and make a product prototype with desktop electronics, software, and industrial-grade fabrication. Find out more about the Venture Center and the Fab Lab at Fox Valley Technical College. Visit us online at venturecenterwi.biz or call 920-735-5709.
If you're looking for a business banking partner, consider Associated Bank. They've been helping businesses meet their financial goals for over 120 years. Associated understands the need to streamline your operation to help your business run smoothly and efficiently. That's why they offer fast, easy, flexible tools to help you manage your cash flow and quickly and securely access your account information. If you're looking to enhance productivity and profitability of your business, visit an Associated Bank branch or associatedbank.com. Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC and Associated Bank Corp.
1150 WHBY.
When the stars make you dream just like Buster Pazoo, that's the morning. When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love.
Oh, yeah. Sounds so sweet. I'm telling you. We're going to do a Rat Pack, Frank Sinatra and Friends cruise on the Harbor Lady this summer, and we'll be doing all Frank Sinatra material, Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin, all that kind of stuff. If you don't go back, you don't remember those people.
I do.
Do you? My guest this morning is Valerie Revenue. She is a attorney on the staff at Epiphany Law, and we are talking, we started out talking contracts, and we're going to get back to that, but I did want to talk to you a little bit. One of the things that we talked about before the show was collections, and I think a lot of businesses, big and small, regardless, all have one thing in common. They got to collect money. And if they've issued credit to somebody and didn't get paid or expecting to get paid after they fulfilled the obligation, then oftentimes they got to chase that money down.
Right. And often that ends up in court, where you end up in either small claim side or the regular high side civil side.
Right.
And what distinguishes between the two is the cap on recovery. Because in small claims, you can recoup up to ask for $5,000.
Okay.
Anything above that is on the high side.
I see.
Now, one of the things that is important to know that I think that...
Under $5,000, you would use small claims court to
recover
your dispute. Well, they would use an attorney for that. Why wouldn't they?
Well, I actually recommend that most businesses handle the small claims themselves. I recommend that if it's something that they haven't done before, that they have an attorney help them walk through the process and counsel of this is what you're going to expect, this is what is going to happen, and this is where you can expect that the disputes are going to be, and then kind of learn it on their own. Because when it comes to $5,000, I mean, that if you have...
They might spend $5,000 for the lawyer, you know.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, that's part of it, that making sure that you have everything up front, the contract, helps to cut down the amount of money that you're in, the time that you're going to be putting in there. Because the less that you have in writing, the less that there is certainty, means that there's more room for dispute, more room for the other party that you're seeking the money from to go, well, they said it was going to be $25 an hour, not $30 an hour. And so little things that you have to go, okay, well, I have to fight on that particular, I have to prove up that particular issue. And they said that it was going to be 2-inch plywood instead of 4-inch plywood. I mean, all these little things that lead to each little piece that you have to prove means it makes it longer.
So you got to dot the I's, cross the T's all through this thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And one of the things that I think that isn't as widely known is that if you have, for a business, what you can choose to do is you can choose to cap your recovery at $5,000, because the small claims process is a lot quicker than the high side,
right.
And you get through it a lot more informally, and it's something that is easier to handle.
Instead of going after that big pie in the sky chunk of money or that big payday you thought you were going to get out of winning this. Besides, you might only get a judgment, and what is that going to do? That doesn't mean the court's going to collect it for you.
Right, yeah. And that's another misconception as well, that there's something that as soon as you get the judgment that the court's going to say, pay this now or you don't get to walk out.
Right.
Nope, you're left to try to do the post-judgment collection.
Just ask the judge to go out and collect it for you. We got Gail on the line. Gail, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
How you
morning,
doing?
Gail. How are you?
I'm good. I have a question on collecting on a bad check that someone wrote out to my business.
Mm-hmm.
And I deposited that check probably within a week or two of it being written out, and it came back to me, account closed. And when I called the person on the phone to try to figure out what to do with it, they hung up on me, and then the next time I kept calling back, they had someone else answer the phone saying, no, I've never heard of that person. This is my phone number now. And it's only for $225. So it's not a huge amount, but it makes me mad that they wrote a check out knowing that account was closed. And when I checked on the Wisconsin Circuit Court system, this person has a history of with various charges of writing out bad checks, disorderly conduct, et cetera, et cetera. Is it worth my time to even try to collect it, or can I forward this on so that she can be prosecuted for it? That's what really, it's just the principle of the thing. It makes me angry.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's two things that I was just going to mention, and you hit on the last one, which was the prosecuting it part, that the DA does get involved in some cases. Now, since I don't do criminal, I can't tell you all of what they choose to get involved with and not, but that certainly I know that they have gotten involved in bad checks in the past, so it's something that you can take to them and see if it is something that they would prosecute, and if they do prosecute it and get... and do charge her with something that that your damage, that the portion of that she wrote the check for, the $250, would be restitution. Sorry, mm-hmm. The damage that would be part of the case to recover. And if the DA decides not to do that, it sounds like, because one of the questions that you take a look at before you decide to prosecute a case is, are they going to be collectible? Because it's the post-judgment collection that, you know, we've gone through the process of getting the judgment. Is the money actually going to be there? And it sounds like it's doubtful in this particular situation.
They're ducking her all over the place.
Right.
Yeah,
she's had a lot of collections against her.
And it sounds like they're doing that to a lot of other people, too.
Oh, so, yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. I would think, in Gail's case, this person committed fraud because the account was closed. You know,
right.
So they didn't just write a bad check on her. They wrote it on an account that wasn't even open.
And you know that the check or the account was closed before they wrote it, right? I mean, that when you came back and it said, because that's also a question, because you can ask
That would be a right.
Punitive damages, but the punitive damage is like two or three times the amount of the check. And even if, again, what you're talking about is, even if it were three times the amount, so you're talking, you know, $600, that is it worth your time and headache to get a judgment when, at the end of the day, if this is what she's doing, if she doesn't have any other assets, that is it going to be even something that you can collect with?
Well no, they won't even...
Should I call the bank to ask the bank when the account was closed? Will they give that information to me?
Well, it may be on the sheets that you got from your own bank. It may have said, you know, sometimes it'll say account closed, and it'll have the date when it was closed on there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and if it doesn't, then I could try calling the bank and explain the situation?
Well, you can try. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, because one of the things that the banks have to watch out for is not releasing information and getting themselves into trouble. But, you know, it never hurts to try to get that information.
They might give you that information, Gail. I think it'd be worth a phone call to that to the bank they wrote it on. And they might, you know, just like Valerie says, they might be willing to volunteer that. Sometimes I get information, I don't even ask for it.
Well, and I also want to just send her a letter, because I've not sent her a letter yet, but I would like to send her a registered letter stating that, you know, either you come in and make good on the check, or I will forward it on to the prosecuting attorney or the district attorney, see if that helps.
Yeah, I had an experience with a small business that had these, they would send out a letter. When they got a check that was on an account closed, and it would, it cited some kind of legal punitive damage that could come after this person, and it looked so legal and official that it scared people sometimes, and they would make good on it just by seeing that. But, you know, for you're a small business person, Gail?
Yeah,
you know, $225 isn't huge, but it's enough for a small business who is really needs every penny they can coming in the door to keep going. So I'd say it'd be worth some of your
letter.
Effort.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say it'd be worth going to court with it, because I mean the time that you would spend with the small claims process or any expense if you were to hire an attorney would outweigh the $225 or $250 that the check is. Mm. And that's also your time. That's the time that you could be doing other sales or making other business to make up for
Correct.
That. And now
Correct.
You know that, okay, well, that she's off your list of clients to accept.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
maybe that changes how you accept payment. Maybe right. instead of personal checks, maybe you require cashier's checks and or money or cash as opposed right. to checks. I mean, some of these kind of things that if you run into enough problems that maybe it says, I should decide to change how I'm doing this.
So. I've
been in business over 5 years, and this is only the second check that I've not been able to collect on, so I guess I'm pretty lucky.
You're way ahead of the game.
That's some pretty good ratio.
I've had retail stores that have a little cork board up, and they'll they blow up a copy of a bad check they took, and it's got the person's name all over it, and they got it hung up on this cork board. And they look over it when it comes to writing checks, and you see that. So, anyway, thanks for the call, Gail, and we're going to get your book out for calling us anyway. So,
okay, all right, thank you so much.
Thanks for the call.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's and just like we said earlier, I think you pointed out the bank or the judge or the courts are not going to go chasing down collections for us.
Right.
And it is very time consuming. Yeah.
Well, one of the things too that again kind of comes full circle again back to the beginning of the relationship is that if you're extending credit, the more information that you have to begin with,
right.
The easier it is to try to collect from them after you get the judgment. So if you have, if they're employed somewhere else, that you have the name of their employer, so you can do an earnest and garnishment after you get the judgment, or you have their bank account information so that you can try to do a non-earnest and garnishment. Now, that doesn't mean that the debtor that owes you the money after the judgment isn't going to close that account and start up a new one, but I mean, at least you got ways to try to find that. There are procedures that once you get the judgment that in small claims that they send a financial disclosure paperwork to the debtor that says that, you know, fill this out and return it to the creditor within 15 days. Otherwise, they can be held in contempt of court. But if you take a look at that form and what satisfies it is answering that form, there's no verification. I mean, it's a two or three pages of saying how much do you make? Do you have any other garnishments that you're claiming? And it doesn't ask you to attach a W-2. It doesn't mean a lot of these things that would be the verification. You can do a supplemental examination where you bring that person in and you have them put under oath in front of a court commissioner and bring in taxes and stuff for the verification. But again, what you're talking about, and this is kind of all the balancing act, is that that costs money to do. So, I mean, you're finding out that information. But if you can get it in the beginning to where you can go, okay, well, I know where they worked when we started the relationship, so I'm going to try an earnest and garnishment. Or I know that the bank account that they worked at, or that the bank account that they had, so I can try a non-earnest and garnishment. One of the other things that we were talking about a little bit on before we were on the air was that in December, they had made it, their exemptions were increased for debtors. So before it would be that if a debtor had, and this is on the individual side, this isn't on the business side.
When you say exemption, you mean they're exempt from a certain amount of money or something? Or,
right, that they get to keep it in their checking account. If it's in there, if it's under, it used to be under $1,000. So if they had $999, that the creditor couldn't get anything because that was under the, we want to have the individual be able to keep that. Now, again, this is individuals and not businesses. Businesses are a little bit different on their exemptions. But what they did in December is they took that $1,000 and they made it $5,000. And chances are that, I mean, especially in like Gail's situation, if they're writing bad checks, well, A, you know that they don't really have a lot of money in the checking account, but that how likely is it that they're going to have anything over the $5,000? So, I mean, it did make it a little bit more difficult on creditors to try to collect, but those are the kind of questions that you need to try to answer before you decide to pursue them.
Okay.
And with the contracts, it's a 6-year statute of limitations. So that's something else to know as well, and maybe you hold off for a couple of months to try to get a feel for it. Now the big thing is, are they going to file bankruptcy or not?
Right.
And if they file bankruptcy, then you're basically wiped out unless you have a priority status. So.
Oh. Okay, we're on the Business Talk Radio Network. We're going to take a short break. I'm talking with Valley Revenue this morning. We're from Epiphany Law. We're talking. We're going to come back and talk garnishments after we get right back from this break.
People say you're riding high in April. shot down in me.
Payroll, taxes, bookkeeping.
I just can't handle it all.
Have the financial demands of your business become too taxing? Let Albertson Healing give you the personal service you desire. We're big enough to handle all of your business tax and accounting needs, yet small enough to give you the attention you deserve. Call Albertson Healing CPAs today at 888-929-9492 for your tax, investment, and consulting needs. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. and Albertson Healing CPAs are non-affiliated entities.
As the number one SBA lender in Wisconsin, Associated Bank has been helping small businesses grow for over 120 years. By getting to know you, your business, and the goals you hope to achieve, Associated is able to offer a wide range of financial solutions to help you run your business more efficiently and save you time and money. If you're interested in learning more about the financial solutions Associated offers to business owners, visit an Associated branch or AssociatedBank.com. Loan subject to credit approval, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC, and Associated Bank Corp.
Epiphany Law provides business law expertise to startup and growing businesses.
I'm about to sign a lease agreement on a new storefront, and I have this nagging feeling that I should have someone looking it over first.
I'm looking at handing my business over to my son in a few years, and I have no idea how to do that.
Epiphany Law knows the critical questions to ask, and they provide the legal resources required by today's business owners.
I'm thinking of investing in a new franchise, and there are parts of this contract that are way beyond me.
There are employment laws that I just don't understand.
Epiphany Law provides solutions to businesses of varying shapes and sizes and has the expertise to be your all-around business legal advisor.
I'm buying a business.
I'm selling a business.
See the business law experts at Epiphany Law by calling 920-996-0000 or look them up online at www.epiphanylaw.com. An epiphany is a flash of light that points to a better way. At Epiphany Law, they provide that better way.
Okay, we are coming down the stretch. We are just about out of time, folks. So our guest, Valerie Revenue. Valerie, I want to thank you for being on today. We didn't get to go into the garnishments because we just don't have the time. But next time, we're going to do that. So,
that sounds good to me.
Quickly, they can get you at 996-0000, right?
Yep, it's 996-0000. Or you can check us out online at www.epiphanylaw.com.
Okay. Hey, quick pearl of wisdom before we go. Biz tip.
That would be that you want to have your advisors in place before you really need to have your advisors. Because when you need it, that's not the best time to be. You're not clear-headed to go, this is all what I need. So best time to do it is beforehand.
That's Biz Talk. We'll see you next Saturday morning. Thanks for joining us.